Seeking the Lord's help and blessing, let us turn to the New Testament and to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 15. And we shall read from verse 3. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, this morning we studied the shepherd going forth and seeking the lost sheep until he found it. We noted that this involved a journey for the shepherd, a journey that took him into this sinful world, a journey that meant that he had to take to himself the nature of those he came to save, something that cannot be true of any other shepherd taking the nature that belongs to their flock. Hence, he is depicted for us in the Bible as the Lamb of God. He took our nature unto himself and united that nature to his own person so that it truly belonged to him. The writer to the Hebrew expresses this so eloquently. Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same things. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Or as our Shorter Catechism puts it, Christ the Son of God became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. In Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, we read, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There's a particular attention there drawn to the voluntary action of the shepherd in seeking for the lost sheep. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, or as the AV has it, he made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. It's a voluntary act on his part. He made himself of no reputation, or he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He humbled himself. He was not forced, but he voluntarily made himself to be nothing. He veiled his glory and chose to occupy the position of a servant or a slave. He became dependent upon the other persons of the Godhead, upon the Father and upon the Holy Spirit. And Jesus sometimes functioned within the limitations of humanity. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was tired. But God never gets hungry, thirsty, or tired. But he functioned within the limitations of the nature that he took upon himself. Instead of holding on to his own interrupted glory, he chose to veil that glory. And although he is under no obligation to do so, he comes into our fallen world. And he does so in order to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, what a cost it was for the shepherd to seek and to save the lost sheep. Paul reminds us, you were bought with a price. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Jesus became poor. He impoverized himself. Notice how tenses are so important. Here it says that he was rich. It does not say that he became rich. He was rich. But it does say that he became poor. The riches did not become his because they were his. But his poverty became his. Well, was it worth it? The writer to the Hebrews writes regarding Jesus the shepherd, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, that is a very remarkable statement. We can think of the joy of the shepherd in a number of ways. There the shepherd took joy in doing his Father's will. He said so himself, as we find in the Gospel of John chapter 4, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. There is no doubt that he looked forward to sitting down at the right hand of the Father. But there was also the joy of the knowledge of what his sufferings and death would accomplish. Namely, the redemption of a people for himself. The redemption of the flock, the people given to him as a gift from the Father in the covenant of redemption. Jesus rejoiced because he saw the crown beyond the cross. Isaiah chapter 53 writes, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. Can it be no wonder to us that we are told here that when he found the lost sheep, that he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. Another point for us to ponder is this, that it is said of the shepherd, and when he has found it, when he has found it, he goes out to look, to seek for the lost sheep. And here we're told, and when he has found it. There is this element of certainty. There is no room here at all for if he finds it. Or the thought that he could get tired and weary and that he would give up the struggle. This shepherd perseveres until he has found the lost sheep. What an encouragement this is for us tonight, that the good shepherd will search and search until he finds his lost sheep. He is not a shepherd who will give up. He will not grow weary or tired. He will continue his search until he finds his lost sheep. Jesus says in John chapter 18, of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. What an encouragement that is for us tonight. That all those that were given to him as a Father's gift in the covenant of redemption, that he goes out to seek them, and he shall find them, and he shall not give up until he has found them. There will be 100 sheep in the fold. Not one will be missing. When the day of reckoning comes and the sheep are counted, they will all be there. But the question is, will you be there? Can you sing the words of the famous hymn, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Can you honestly, sincerely and truly take these words into your heart and sing them on your lips tonight? It is one thing for the shepherd to find his lost sheep, and it is indeed an encouragement for us as preachers of the gospel to know that the shepherd will have all his sheep, that when the day of reckoning comes, that they shall all be counted and they shall all be there. Yes, they may be lost this evening, they may be in the gutter that belongs to this world, but the shepherd will find them. The shepherd will find them, and he shall save them, he shall redeem them. But it is one thing for the shepherd to find his lost sheep, but it is another thing entirely to bring that sheep home. Now we noted this morning. Not only does he find the sheep, but he brings that sheep home. No sooner had the shepherd in our story found his lost sheep than he began the task of bringing the sheep home. For we read, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." You can just imagine this loving scene. No sooner has he found the lost sheep than he lifts the sheep and puts the sheep around his neck and grasps its four legs together in front of him and starts the journey home. David in Psalm 28 wrote, "O save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." Here we have the shepherding ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does he find his lost sheep, but then he begins the task of bringing that sheep home. The sheep may have looked rather untidy. The fleece may have been torn, may have looked very messy and untidy, but the shepherd's love covered it all. He lifts the sheep and he carries it all the way. Is that not an encouragement for you tonight? The Bible does not tell us to make ourselves to look the best for the shepherd in order for him to take care of us. The shepherd's love for his sheep will cover and heal all the spots and all the blemishes that are upon us. The shepherd carries the sheep until he reaches home. He does not take the sheep halfway and then abandons it. No. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he carries the sheep all the way home. Paul could say, "And I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Whether the sheep struggled at times, we know not. But the shepherd did not lose his hold of the sheep. Is that not comforting for me and you tonight? That it is not our hold of the shepherd, but the shepherd's hold on us that shall eventually bring us home. David in Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The prophet Isaiah in chapter 43 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. While you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. While you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And true enough, we know that on our pilgrimage, on our journey, that we will pass through waters, that we will pass through rivers, that we will pass through fire, that we will pass through the flame. Yet the shepherd is with us. He is with us. Jesus shepherding his lost sheep all the way home. Well, whatever your situation and circumstances are tonight, you may be going down paths tonight that you never experienced before. Paths that you never expected. Paths that you would never have chosen for yourself. There may be steep hills. There may be dark valleys. There may be days of warmth when the sun shines down upon you and leaves you weary and tired. And there may be nights of hard frost. Maybe times when you are feeling isolated and lonely. But the shepherd is carrying you. You are upon his shoulders. Again in Isaiah chapter 63 we read, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Oh, how blessed to be carried all the way home on the shoulders of the shepherd. Maybe we can digress for a moment. For as I think of the shepherd carrying the sheep on his shoulders, my mind goes back to what we are told regarding the garments of the high priest in the Old Testament. The high priest wore two onyx stones, and each was engraved with the names of 6 of the 12 tribes of Israel in the order of their birth. 2 onyx stones, and on each one there were 6 names engraved, making up the 12 tribes of Israel. Now these stones were placed on the shoulders of the high priest and attached to the gold straps of the ephod. What an encouragement for Israel to know that their high priest represented them all before God. That he carried them on his shoulders. That their names were engraved on these 2 onyx stones that was upon his shoulders. What a beautiful type we have there of Christ, who bears the needs of believers before the throne of God, where he intercedes for them. You know, sometimes our minds may be totally focused upon what took place at Golgotha, and so it should. That is where the price was paid. But our minds might not be so much focused on the fact that we are bringing before you just now that he is carrying us all the way home. But our minds may not be so focused either on the fact of the present ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight he is ministering in heaven on behalf of his sheep, on behalf of those whom he has redeemed, on behalf of his people. He is interceding for them. Oh, how precious is the intercession of Jesus Christ. Yes, he is bearing our needs before the throne of God as he intercedes for us. We are carried on the shoulders of our priestly shepherd. There was another piece of the garments that belonged to the high priest where the name of Israel tribes are also engraved. If you look back into the Old Testament and if you look at the breastplate of the high priest, each tribe had their own special stone on which their names were engraved. But on this onyx stones, on the shoulder of the high priest, each name stood engraved on the same type of stone. There was no difference between one of the children of Israel and another. There was in the stones that made up the breastplate of the high priest. Each tribe had its own particular stone on which their name was engraved. But carrying the names being engraved and carried on the onyx stones that was on the shoulders of the high priest, there was absolutely no difference. It was the same type of stone. Each was presented in the same glory and beauty. Reuben might prove unstable as water, and yet he was the first name to be on that stone. Joseph and Benjamin might be a favourite, yet they were the last names on those stones. But each of the two stones there upon the shoulders of the high priest gave forth its glowing beauty equally to each of the six names that was engraved upon them. One is as precious and glorious as another. That is what it reminds us. That one is as precious and as glorious as another. He carries them all on his shoulders. The infinite cost of the blood of the shepherd has been paid alike for each one and for all. The growing love of the great loving shepherd of the sheep will not cease to bear on his shoulders the weakest of the flock until at last he brings it home, until at last he places the sheep that he has found and he puts it into the fold. The shepherd provides all that is needed for the journey home. Along the way, he brings them rest and refreshment. He makes them to lie down in green pastures. He maketh the sheep to lie down in the pastures of his own word. In those pastures, the sheep finds good sustenance, and they find nourishment to feed upon, and whereby they can gain strength for the journey home. Every sheep here tonight who has been redeemed by the Lord knows how wonderful and how good are the pastures of his word, where they feed and where they find nourishment and where they find strength for the journey home. The psalmist in Psalm 119 could say, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me." To lie down in the pastures of his word, and to be fed by his word, and to be encouraged by his word. We are told that when sheep lie down, it's because the sheep are satisfied. Well, this good shepherd, Jesus, he satisfies his sheep by his word. How often we may feel as though he cannot go on. We feel that the journey is too much for us. There may be the fear that we'll never reach the fold, we'll never get home. And then a verse or a passage from the Bible, or perhaps a word from the pulpit. I recently spoke to a lady who had been in hospital, a lady who had been on the journey for many years. But this day in hospital, she felt quite down in her spirit. But the words of a certain psalm kept coming to her mind. And the next day she asked if she could have a radio, or she wanted to listen to the morning service. And that exact psalm was preached upon. And she felt so refreshed and revived, and she knew that it was her shepherd that was feeding her. In the words of Psalm 34, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The shepherd feeds them. He nourishes them. He gives them strength, and he encourages them through the pastures of his own word. Oh, how good it is for us to glean in the pastures of the word of God. The shepherd, he leads me beside still waters. We are told that the word still here implies refreshing, peaceful, and pure water. Not only does the shepherd keep his sheep from the muddy waters that are to be found in the world, but also from the noisy, turbulent, and rushing streams. Sheep stand terrified before turbulent waters, and for good reasons, for a sheep would be helpless if they were to come too close and fall into a fast-moving stream. It would be dangerous for a sheep to dabble or to potter around a fast-flowing stream. So the shepherd does not lead the sheep to muddy waters or to fast-flowing streams of this world, but he leads them to the still, quiet waters. In the Eastern world, it could be quite hard for a shepherd to find such pure, refreshing waters. So we find that shepherds often built deep wells, cisterns from which they could draw up water to provide drink for their thirsty flock. So our good shepherd has also built a well from which the thirsty soul of his sheep finds satisfaction, the still, refreshing and peace-giving waters of gospel ordinances. Here tonight there is a well as gospel preaching goes forth. It is a well for the sheep. Here is the one who, out of his sovereign eternal love for his sheep, he cried out himself, "I thirst," so that his sheep would be eternally guaranteed still refreshing waters to lie beside. He is the one who on the cross of Golgotha says, "I thirst." And he did so in order that his sheep would be entirely guaranteed the still refreshing waters to lie beside, those refreshing waters of the gospel, of gospel ordinances. We read there at the end of the Bible, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Do you know what it is to lie down in the green pastures of God's word? Do you know what it is to drink from the still waters of gospel ordinances? Maybe tonight on the journey along with the shepherd, you are saying in your heart tonight, "I thirst to thirst. I thirst to thirst. To thirst for those waters of the gospel. To thirst for those waters of gospel ordinances." May it be you are like the psalmist in Psalm 63. "My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." To each member of the flock is given the promise, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." David could say, "My cup overflows." And as the shepherd carries us on his shoulders, our cup runneth over with all the covenant blessings. All that because of the cup that the shepherd took on behalf of his sheep. A cup that was not overflowing with blessings, but one that was overflowing with the curse that the sheep deserved. He took that cup so that we would have a cup of covenant blessings. Remember when he contemplated drinking it in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." But if the sheep were going to be saved, if he was going to bring the sheep home, the shepherd must drink that cup. His cup overflowed with the judgment that our sins deserved. And he drank it to the very dregs. He drank it in such a way that he exhausted the curse. The curse that was against the sheep. He exhausted that curse. He met with the full judgment that our sins deserved. And that we cannot measure. That is infinite. It cannot be measured. Those who are lost are in hell eternally. It will never come to an end. It is an infinite punishment. A punishment that cannot be measured. A punishment without sin. And in the mystery of the work of our salvation, the Son of God, the darling of heaven, the man Jesus Christ, he took all that upon himself. He took it upon himself. Again, you have that voluntary action of the shepherd. He took that upon himself so that I and you could be saved. So that I and you could have salvation tonight. So that I and you could be brought home to heaven. He suffered all that. What a shepherd. What a shepherd. He took it all on himself in order to bring salvation. In order to bring the gospel to this place tonight. The good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the way of salvation for sinners like me and you. There is no greater news in the world tonight than the news of the gospel, Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a privilege we have that we are hearing that news tonight. You may be here and you may feel that it is so boring and so tiresome to come to the gospel. But you know, my friend, it's the best news that you'll ever hear. It's the best place that you could ever sit. And that is under the gospel. Under the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's a privilege that is given to you tonight. My friend, I beg of you, don't waste that privilege. Don't waste that privilege. David could say, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd's reputation also is so combined with the safety and the protection of the flock given to him by the Father. For if he should lose one of them, he would have to answer for it. Jesus says, as recorded for us in John chapter 6, "For I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." So you see, the shepherd's reputation is combined with the safety and the protection of the flock. There is there in the New Testament given to us a verse there that describes for us when the Lord Jesus will bring his flock and he shall bring them before the Father, and he says, "Behold, I and all the children that you have given me, none of them are lost." The 100 are there. They are all there. They are all there. He shall lose none of them, and he shall raise them all up on the last day. On the shoulders of the shepherd, we are secure. We are secure. And we read, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." When a sinner repents of his sin, you know, it affects heaven. It touches the heavenly realm. For we read, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. It touches the heavenly realm when a sinner repents of his sin. The question is often asked, who are the 99 just persons who need no repentance? Well, remember who the audience were. They were the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think that Jesus was taking a sharp jab at the Pharisees and scribes who were so sure of their own righteousness that they thought they needed no repentance. They thought they needed no repentance. They were so sure of their own works and of their own righteousness. And I think Jesus is just reminding them of that. The shepherd calleth together his friends and neighbours to rejoice with him. The church of Jesus Christ cannot but rejoice when sinners repent of their sin and come to Jesus for their salvation. But here it is especially referring to the shepherd homecoming. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours. I think, first of all, this speaks of the rejoicing of heaven when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father after his crucifixion. When he entered heaven in his human nature after working out the salvation of his people. When the shepherd returned home and he proclaimed, I found my sheep that was lost. In Psalm 68 we read, you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. When Jesus came home, having worked out salvation for his sheep, there is a sense in which he found at the cross that which was lost. And in that, heaven rejoiced. The triune God rejoiced. The angels rejoiced. The triumphant church in heaven rejoiced. The Old Testament saints who had gone home to heaven rejoiced. And they rejoiced especially when Jesus entered in human nature, having worked out the salvation of the church. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ. Oh, how much more he rejoiced when Jesus entered heaven in his human nature after accomplishing the salvation of the church. How much the Old Testament saints rejoiced. The triumphant church rejoiced. The angels rejoiced. The triune God rejoiced. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, we know that the triumphant church, they are in a blessed state. But let us remember that the triumphant church is not yet in their final glorified state of body and soul. They without us shall not enter that final glorified state. Everyone together will enter that final glorified state. But the heavenly rejoicing has not ceased as each of the sheep are brought to experience salvation. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And you know, each sinner that repents brings the final glorified state closer. Think of the shepherd, Jesus. He has ascended. He is at the right hand of the Father and he is ministering there in the intercession that he makes for his lost sheep. But think of it. He is longing there. He has a longing there The shepherd has a longing tonight at the right hand of the Father. He has a longing. And what is his longing? Well, he has told us what his longing is. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. The church militant, that is the church on earth, rejoices as sinners repent. In this joy, we can say that heaven and earth is united. There is also a rejoicing in heaven. There is also a rejoicing with the shepherd as each sinner repents. As each sinner puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there is rejoicing with the Saviour because he sees that his longing desire to have the sheep with him in the same place, that they will be forever with him, that they will be forever with the Lord, is coming closer and closer and closer. Every sinner that repents brings that moment closer and closer and closer. As each sheep that was given to the Father, to the Son in the covenant of redemption is brought into the fold of faith. Well, can you say as the great shepherd Sam ends, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, all the days of my pilgrimage carried on the shoulders of the shepherd. And in the end, he shall bring me home, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The day of reckoning comes, and the shepherd will say to the Father, behold I and the children, this flock, the sheep that you gave me, they're all here. Not one of them is lost. Well, my friend, will you not this evening consider the infinite condescension and grace and love that is displayed in all this? Why all this towards the lost sheep? Have you deserved all this at the hands of the shepherd? Is it nothing but the overflowing of mercy, compassion, and grace that moves the shepherd to seek and save the lost sheep? Let us seriously take the advice of the writer to the Hebrews, who says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And if you're hearing the voice of the shepherd in the gospel tonight and is calling you, then do not turn aside. Do not turn away from it. Do not harden your heart. Yes, the enemy of your soul will come and he'll say, time enough. Time enough. It is not convenient just now. You have your whole life to live before you. Spend your life, and then consider your salvation. That's the deceitfulness of sin that says, enough time. Tomorrow is early enough. When you grow old is early enough. That's the deceitfulness of sin. Oh no, the Bible says, the shepherd says, if you hear my voice, and he's calling us in the gospel tonight, and you are hearing his call, then harden not your heart. Respond to the call. Cry out to the shepherd by faith. Yes, trust and lean upon the shepherd. To this day is to you, in the tender mercy of the shepherd, the acceptable time. This is a day of salvation for you. Tonight is the acceptable time. Tonight is a day of salvation for you. The shepherd is still seeking in the overtures of the gospel. Come unto me and be saved. Remember, others had this day as well as you, and they neglected the day, and they missed their opportunity. Take heed, lest it should be so with you as well. The shepherd has waited long for you, and who knows how soon he may withdraw, never to look your way any more. For the Bible tells us that the Lord's Spirit shall not always strive with man. So tonight, the gospel call, tonight the shepherd is calling through the gospel, and he's calling you. And he says, come and be saved. Come unto me and be saved. Well, my dear friend, it has been a great privilege, has it not, for you to hear the shepherd's call. But what is your response? What is your response? For years you have neglected this call. For years you have heard it, and for years you have let it pass by. Well, remember, my friend, you shall hear it for the last time, and you shall let it pass for the last time. But woe unto you if you are found yet shepherdless at the end of your day. How good it is and how blessed it is to go through life on the shoulders of the shepherd, to go through the valley of the shadow of death, carried by the shepherd who will raise up our bodies on that day, and who will bring us in body and soul to be home with himself. And not only that, but who will shepherd us throughout all eternity. He will still be our shepherd in eternity, because he will be leading us to the fountains of living waters. But we have to find this shepherd here in this world, in our pilgrimage through the world, in our short journey through the world. This is where we have to find the shepherd. This is where we have to find him. Or they might be deceived in thinking, well, perhaps beyond death we'll have an opportunity to find the shepherd. No, my friend, it is in this world tonight that you have to find the shepherd. And if you find the shepherd, and if he lays you on his shoulders, rejoicing, then he will shepherd you through every circumstance and situation that confronts you. And yes, there will be difficult times. Yes, there will be hard times. Yes, the sun will shine upon you. Yes, you will be weary and tired. But the shepherd will carry you through. And this shepherd will take us home to be with himself forevermore. Oh, what a great expectation. What great anticipation for the Christian tonight to know that the day will dawn when he shall see his shepherd. Yes, tonight we are looking at the shepherd by faith, but the day is coming and we shall see him, and we shall see him as he is. And not only that, but we shall be like him. We shall be like him. What a hope. What an expectation. What anticipation. Oh, how is it with you tonight? Have you got that expectation? Have you got that anticipation? Friends, we're going through this world at a great pace. The years go by. Time is short. And how sad it is if at the end we haven't got this great expectation of meeting with the shepherd, of seeing him as he is, and of him shepherding us through eternity. But that can be your lot tonight. That can be your privilege tonight. That can be your assurance tonight, if you put your faith, your trust in this shepherd, in the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless our thoughts. Let us pray. Eternal and ever blessed Lord, we give thanks to you for the gospel, for the proclamation of the gospel, where the shepherd calls his sheep. And we give thanks that when they respond, and when they exercise faith and trust and come to lean upon the shepherd, that he will carry them through every circumstance that may confront them in this world, that he'll carry them through the waters, through the fire, through the flames, through the rivers, hard times, difficult times, that he will carry them through, for he will bring them home. He will bring them home to be with himself forevermore in the enjoyment of the inheritance that he has prepared for them. He will feed them and he will lead them to living fountains of water. O Lord, we give thanks that we can have such a hope and such an expectation in the gospel through Jesus Christ, and that we can be assured that whatever comes our way, that the shepherd will bring us home, and that you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. O Lord, if there be any who haven't got that hope tonight, we pray that through thy Spirit, that thou would stir them up in their hearts, that they may come and lean upon thee, that they may come and put their trust upon thee, that they would know thee as their shepherd, that they could truly from the heart say the words of the Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd." Oh yes, he can be the shepherds of others. He can be the shepherd of our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbours, those around us, our friends. But what is important is that personal, intimate relationship wherein we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." We seek, O Lord, that thou would be with us during the coming days, that thou would uphold us and guide us, that thou would protect us from the paths of temptation, from the paths of sin, and from the evil that there is in the world. And all that we ask is in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We shall conclude by singing to the Lord's praise from the Shepherd's Psalm of Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. We shall sing the whole psalm to the Lord's praise. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the
with all your mind.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.